Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you here on the afternoon drives as we talk both local and national sports. And we got a packed show today. We're going to talk to our great friend Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We'll try to clarify some of the college football mess we have going on. Some excellent, excellent storylines, including what's going to happen in the Big 12 and how that directly affects the Pac-12 with the upcoming Rose Bowl. We'll discuss that coming up in a bit. Plus, we'll get you some post-game reaction from Coach Kyle Whittingham as the Utah Utes dropped another game this past Saturday, falling to the Colorado Buffaloes. And we'll talk to Coach Ted Bianco, the Carbon Lady Dino basketball squad, about their season opener. They'll travel on the road this weekend to Uinta. So that's all coming up. Before we break, we'll go over the NBA schedule. Sacramento tonight will be at Washington at 5 p.m., Philly at Toronto at 5:30, Oklahoma City at New York, and Boston at Miami. Those are the quick 5 o'clock games. 6 o'clock, we have Charlotte at Memphis right here tonight. The Jazz travel on the road to take on Minnesota at 6 p.m., and then the nightcap, Atlanta. They're on a little bit of a schneid. They'll travel on the road to take on Golden State. Quick look at the NBA schedule tonight. Again, a packed show. Lots of college football talk coming your way. Plus, we'll talk some Lady Dino basketball with Coach Ted Bianco when we return here on KOAL's Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Brand new week of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. And we've got to talk some high school sports for this particular segment before we dive in to the college football talk. Carbon High School girls basketball started off the season with a statement. They absolutely pulverized Union 68-41 in the season opener. That was this past Tuesday. And now with the season off and rolling, the team will pause for a couple of days. They'll return to the court this Thursday as they travel to the Shannon Johnson Classic. This will be at Uinta High School. They'll meet Union again on Thursday, and they'll also play Orem High School Thursday night. So a lot of basketball action coming up. To talk a bit about that, we have head coach Ted Bianco with the Lady Dinos basketball squad. Coach, it's great to get you back on and start talking girls basketball again. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. Let's start by talking about your guys' season opening win. You knock off Union 68-41. Things started a little slow, but by the second quarter, I mean, you guys outscored them by an average of 7-8 points per quarter. Seemed like things really picked up for you guys once you got past that initial 8 minutes.
Well, that's the first minutes. Yeah, we had points going into the second quarter. We just missed a lot of easy baskets and just were rushing some things. It was first game jitters, and to the girls' credit, they hung in there. They kept taking those shots, and they did the things that they needed to keep their lead and for the game.
As far as Union goes, Coach, how comparable are they to State Tournament 3A squad? I know that's got to be so early to kind of determine if a team, you know, is a tournament team or not. But, I mean, you've been around the 3A classification for a very long time. How did you peg that talent that you saw on the opposing side of the bench?
Well, they're very young. I don't believe they have any seniors on their team, so they're very young in that respect. However, they play extremely hard. And they work their tails off, and by the end of the season, they could be a team that finishes third or fourth in their region. Actually, they hosted a game last year. They took second in their region. They were in first place for quite a long time. They ended up taking second and had to host Pine View and ended up losing. So, with basically a lot of the same girls back. So, they do have some experience there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they were one of the top 16 3A teams in the state.
If we look at the production on your guys' side, Lindsey Blank finishes with 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, knocks down a couple of shots from beyond the arc. This is Lindsey's team, right? I mean, is that fair to say? I mean, this is a kid that you've had, that you've developed now over the last few years. Do you expect her to just dominate and take over games like this?
Well, she's a 3-year starter, and she has a whole lot of experience. So I would expect that she's going to use that experience to help her teammates out and help lead her team to where we want to be at the end of the year. I thought she did an excellent job of that on Tuesday night. And, it is basically her role, as well as some of the other girls that got to start last year and then the experience that they had. It's their role to help these younger players along and help the girls along that maybe didn't get as much playing time last year at the varsity level. So it's going to be a team effort, but Lindsey is by far has the most experience because of what she's been able to do for us for the last 3 years. But there's a lot of other girls too, like Tana Passarella and Shandell Nichols that started almost every game for us last year, and they're going to bring a lot of knowledge and experience to the table for us. So it's going to be a fun year for these girls.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dino Basketball Squad. Coach, you guys, you used a wide variety of players in this game. How deep do you feel comfortable rolling with this unit?
Well, the other night we went about 10 or 11 deep, and I think night in, night out we can do that. We didn't have Kelsey Sorensen with us because she was homesick with the flu, and so that was a player that we missed quite a bit, and she brings a lot to the table to us for us also. And I feel like we can go 10, 11, maybe even 12 deep if we need to. What that does for us is that gives us an advantage to come out and wear teams down. If you have a good bench, you can wear a team out. And if you don't have a good bench, they can wear you out. So it's nice to have fresh legs in there when we need them. And like I said, a lot of the girls that came in off the bench for us, I believe our bench outscored our starting five for the game. And that's, to me, that's not a bad thing. I think you've got to have some firepower off the bench, because if you don't, you're in for a long night.
You guys definitely have an opportunity to become a cohesive group. You got a lot of basketball games in a very short period amount of time here over the next 9 days, Coach.
Well, we're going to a tournament up in Uinta this weekend. We got 4 games in 3 days with our varsity group, and we're going to need all of those bodies in order to get through those 3 days. So it's going to be good for us to see how we play against a lot of these schools. 3 of the 4 teams that we're playing up there are 4A or 5A teams, and so it's going to be a good opportunity for our kids to see some different talent and some different levels of play. Our goal with this is to take it one game at a time and compete and get better. Regardless of what the outcome of the game is, it's our kids' job to understand why they're there, and they're there to play as a team, to get better as a team, and to move forward throughout the season. And that's a big thing that I'm looking forward this weekend and next weekend when we go to Fruta is to see how our kids respond to some adversity, see how our kids respond to success, and see how they work together.
You guys definitely have a non-league schedule in general, Coach. You got to go to Uinta. You'll get to see Uinta twice, I believe, right? Once you get past the tournament this weekend, then you get West. You got Juan Diego, Park City. I mean, you guys have a very challenging non-region schedule this season.
Absolutely, and our preseason schedule last year was very similar to this year. And I don't know that you prepare yourself for the state tournament very well by always scheduling teams that you know you're going to come out and thump, you know. And it was nice to go on the road last Tuesday night and have the success that we did. I'm sure Friday night our first game is against Union again. And so we've got to step up to the plate against them for the second game in a row. And I'm sure they're going to make some adjustments. And we have to respond to those adjustments in a positive way. So nothing for us this season is going to come easy. We're going to have to earn everything we get. Like you said before, we have a very athletic group of young ladies that have had a lot of success in their careers, both on the basketball court, and most all of them play softball, and they've been very successful in softball. They're just a group that knows how to win and wants to win. So it's a group, too, that they work extremely hard when things get going, when things aren't going as well. And I noticed that Tuesday night there was a stretch of the ball game where we weren't rebounding very well and we weren't scoring, and some girls picked it up on the defensive end, got a couple of steals, and got us rolling again. So it's just, like I said, it's a fun group of kids. They know each other well, and hopefully we can use that experience to our advantage.
How do you see Region 12 shaping up this year?
Well, if you read the newspapers, I believe Richfield's picked to win it. And they have a very good team coming back. They're all juniors, I believe. They have some very good guards. If you remember last year, they had the one guard that lit us up here at our place and ended up beating us on our home court. And then we went back to their place and took advantage and won that game. They're going to be a very good competitive team for us. GRAB, they got the big Robbins girl back. She's about 6'2", 6'3". She can shoot from outside. She can take you inside. She's a girl that we have to be aware of. The key for us with them is to be able to come out and attack their guards. North San Pete, they were a bit inexperienced last year. I'm expecting them to be better with some of the athletes they have coming back. And Canyonview, I know they lost their opening game, but they should be improved this year from where they were last year also.
Last question before I let you go, Coach. Of course, you are the athletic director at Kerbin High School. We just recently saw the first release of the newly realigned regions, the first considerations. Your take on that and where Kerbin is placed, if there are any surprises for you?
I don't know that I'm surprised by it. We got the numbers to be in 3A. I'm sure we're going to stay there. I also believe that as we move throughout this process that I have no idea what region we're going to be in, but it's going to be interesting. I don't know why we need six classifications in the state of Utah. I think what we have right now is working well, but I know that there was some push for that. I think football is the main driver of that, and football is a different. It's a totally different sport. You got to look at it differently than any other sport, and I don't know that we're doing that the way we should be. But you know what? We'll play wherever they put us, and it'll be a good competitive opportunity for us to hopefully continue to be, a leader in 3A. We're obviously going to be one of the bigger schools in 3A if you look at the numbers. And hopefully that works out to our benefit as the years go on. Hopefully we get more kids participating in some of our sports like football that we really need a lot of our best athletes out for. And I would encourage every parent and kid that's thinking about playing football to do it. It's a great opportunity to play a sport that teaches young men how to compete. Our basketball program, I think, is going to benefit from this, and I think our other sports are going to do well. So regardless of what region we're in, or even if they move us to 4A, I have no idea what's going to happen with that. I doubt you'll see us go to 4A. I know we were on that top line, but I doubt you'll see us go to 4A. I really do believe that we'll stay in 3A. It's just a matter of what region they put us in.
Well, Coach, it's great to get you back on the air and start talking girls basketball. I really do appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend as you guys travel to Uinta, and hopefully we can catch up again with you next week.
I appreciate it, Jordan, and thank you. And hopefully everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and looking forward to really getting revved up with basketball here in the next few weeks.
Definitely. Best time of the year, Coach. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coach Ted Bianco with the Kerbin Lady Dino basketball squad taking out the time for us here on this Monday edition of the show. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to dedicate the next two segments to college football right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to talk a lot of college football on the show today. The new AP Top 25, it was released yesterday, and the Utah Utes are not in the Top 25 following their loss over the weekend to Colorado. That was a tough game for the Utes. They fall by 5. Offensively, they were not very good once again. And that's kind of plagued this team throughout the entire season. I mean, you look at the final statistics in this contest, Troy Williams was not good under center. And this is part of the reason why I have viewed Utah as an average team throughout the entire season. is because of the offensive production. I just expected at some point in time, I expected the offense to get moving, and that just has not been the case. In this game, Troy Williams struggled. He was 13 of 40 for 160 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. That's a QBR of 17. Completed just 13 of 40 passes. That's a tough outing, and it makes it difficult for Joe Williams, who wasn't bad. He averaged almost 4 yards per carry. He picked up 97 yards on 26 carries. But when Troy Williams is that inefficient through the air, you don't necessarily have to respect the passing game. Tim Patrick was not bad for Utah. He had 5 grabs for 78 yards. Tied at the end of the first quarter, down by 6 in the second. Utah managed to outscore Colorado in the fourth. But by that point, it's too little too late. So the Utes finish 8-4 overall, 5-4 in conference play. Colorado wins the Pac-12 South. That's unbelievable to me that the Colorado Buffaloes, under coach Mike McIntyre, who we've had here on the show multiple times, they won the Pac-12 South. And I think what's even more amazing is that USC, after the start that they had, somehow rallied to finish in second place. And they were a Utah win away from representing the Pac-12 in the Rose Bowl. Following the setback on KOAL this past Saturday, Coach Kyle Whittingham sat down with the Utah Sports Radio Network. Quick interview for Coach Witt, but he talked about the struggles and now preparing for that final game of the season, a bowl game, which is it's kind of undecided at this point for Utah, but we do have a pretty clear indication of where they'll be going.
Coach Whittingham, the tough loss for the team, tough loss for everybody. I always like to ask you what your thoughts are on these teams. You know, we've played a lot of highly ranked teams in the nation. What were your thoughts on the Colorado Buffs tonight?
Good solid football team, well coached, good personnel. They've got strength at virtually every position group. Quarterback's an outstanding runner. Does a great job with the QB run game, which makes it really difficult to defend. And what you got to do is pull your safety out of the post and bring him down in the box and kind of roll the dice in coverage, which we did tonight. And I thought our defenders did an absolutely fantastic job tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. They did. They played their hearts out. There was three All-American candidates on that defensive side, the corners, the outside linebacker. Those DBs have been getting a lot of respect. Did you also think that they, you know, deserved all of that respect that they were getting?
Yeah, they're good defense. We made them look really good tonight. But they are a good, solid defense, one of the top in the Pac-12. You know, if not the best, certainly in the top two or three. But we were anemic on offense. We had nothing on offense today.
Sure. The positive thing coming out of this, though, is that we have a winning record and we are going to a bowl game, which is very important for these seniors. Just speak on that a little bit, how important it is for these seniors to end on a good note.
Yeah, we're excited that we have the chance to play together one more time, and told them that after the game. And kind of try to make the most of that opportunity and win our ninth ball game. And I told them how proud I was of them. There's not that's a very tough, mentally and physically tough group of guys in that locker room. And it was just a shame that the season ended how it did.
Yeah. Coach, I always appreciate your time. Thank you very much. I'm going to send it up to Bill and Frank.
Bo, thank you. Bill Riley, Frank Dolce upstairs, and Kyle Whittingham downstairs with us. Kyle, you said walking off the field to Bo at halftime, no comment on the offense. It got better in the second half. You put some more yardage up, but I know the red zone thing is so big for you guys tonight. I think 5 red zone trips. You had a fumble, a touchdown, and three field goals, and I know that's got to frustrate you to no end.
Yeah, that's the difference in the game, bottom line. That's the difference in the game.
Coach, tell us about this Colorado defense. It looked like they were just keyed on Joe Williams and came up to stop him, and you countered with a passing attack trying to take shots deep. Was that the game plan, is trying to hit him over the top?
Part of it, yeah. And you got to be balanced, though. You got to be able to run and throw. But we didn't get much going on offense.
They do anything differently defensively?
Nope,
Kyle?
Nope, just standard stuff. Stuff they've been doing all year. They do a great job of it. They're very well coached and very disciplined in what they do, and they got good players on defense.
Obviously a tough loss. Special teams was pretty darn good tonight, though.
Outstanding on special teams. And the touchdown off the punt return, another one that was a big return on with Booby that put us in great field position. Great kickoff return by Kyle Folks. That should have been a touchdown. Where were we first and goal on the 3? Is that where we were?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a little embarrassing, that score there.
What needs to change, in your opinion, in the
Redskins? We got a lot of things to look at. Yeah, we'll look at everything. We'll look at everything. I can't give you specifics right now. I will evaluate everything.
Defensively, Chase Hansen seemed to be everywhere for you tonight, and I don't know if you could have asked your defense. I know you always ask your defense to do more, but you know you only give up 20 points with your defense tonight. It was chasing a lot of different guys. You got even some young guys like Bradley and I got a sack tonight. Yep. You got a lot of good performances tonight from your defense.
We sure did. We got some promising young players. Lucky Fotu got in there, and Chris Hart recovered a fumble, and Bradley and I, you mentioned, had a sack and did some other really good things as well. Chase Hansen is just a sophomore. So we've got. I thought David Luifatasanga might have played his best game as a Ute. He was all over the place and seems to be getting better as the weeks go on. You know, throughout the season, and so very promising. Some of that personnel on defense, and we got some guys who redshirted that we are really high on as well.
Coach, you had a lot of guys go down tonight with some injuries, and I know a couple guys went to the locker room. Does this give you enough time off between now and the bowl game to get some of those guys back?
Well, we'll see. Depends on which bowl game. Some are sooner than others, obviously. And so we'll have to find out exactly where we're going first, and then that time frame will dictate, who we're going to get back, if any of them. We don't know the extent of a lot of them right now. The seriousness, we'll find out a lot more tomorrow and Monday on those guys.
Is there any preference on the bowl games at this point?
No, just, glad to be going. I'm not sure the Pac-12 is going to fill them all. I think we have six bowl ineligible teams, and so I think we have seven or eight bowls, and so that could change how things shake out as well. And then if Washington goes to the playoffs, if they take care of their business, then there's another slot. So it'll be a little bit interesting to see how the people get lined up this year with their bowls.
Kyle, thanks for the time. We'll catch up with you between now and the bowl game.
Okay.
And, talk to you then.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle.
Again, that's Coach Kyle Whittingham following Saturday's setback here on KOAL. Utah falling to Colorado 27-22. That loss pretty much means that Utah will go to the Foster Farms Bowl, and it looks as if they'll go up against Indiana from the Big Ten. That's a Pac-12 Big Ten matchup. And Indiana won't be a bad matchup for Utah. I know Michigan State turned out to be not very good, but Indiana did top Michigan State when they were ranked 24-21. I believe Michigan State was ranked like 16th or 17th at that time. So that's probably who Utah is going to get. The Foster Farms Bowl in Santa Clara at Levi Stadium, home of the 49ers. I believe that game is on the 28th of December. I'm pretty positive it's December 28th. That's where Utah will go, more than likely, as we wrap up the college football regular season. We're going to break for just a moment. When we return, we'll stick with the college football talk, but we're going to move over and talk everything from Michigan and Ohio State, what a game that was, what the playoff picture should look like when we get the new rankings tomorrow. We'll be joined by our good friend Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports in New Mexico. We'll talk a little Pac-12, and we'll also talk about the projected playoff rankings. Washington now has a clear path. That's coming up next when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We spent last segment talking about the Utah Utes, and they wrapped up the regular season here on Saturday here on KOAL with a 27-22 loss. We don't need to go down that avenue again. We don't need to pull that back out for you Ute fans. However, the Pac-12 championship is set, and it doesn't feature Utah, and it doesn't feature USC, and it doesn't even feature UCLA. Those were the three teams at the beginning of the season that I thought definitely had the best chance to make a push for that Pac-12 South. It does feature Colorado going up against Washington. And joining us to talk about that and some of the other storylines around the college football ranks, we'll bring in our good friend Steve Bordstein. He's the host of First Sports in Farmington, New Mexico on Fox Sports 1340. Steve, as always, it's a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on. Thanks a lot.
You and I talked some college football on your show earlier today, and now you're returning the favor. Look, I'm blown away by the Pac-12 championship matchup. Even Washington, at the beginning of the season, I know they became that lovable underdog. Chris Peterson's group, they could put up a lot of points. They creeped into the top 10. Then they just blasted Stanford, and I think that's when people really started taking note of Washington. They're at 11-1 right now. If they win the Pac-12 championship, Championship. There's no reason why they shouldn't be in the Final Four come playoff time. This is a very interesting game. So you have Washington and Colorado. I really don't know what direction this game is going to go. I do believe, however, it probably favors Washington nonetheless.
I think it favors Washington, and no disrespect to the Buffaloes, because I didn't see it coming. I did not see this year coming for Colorado, but they snuck up on everyone, you know, and they took advantage of, again, they took advantage of, you mentioned it, a UCLA team that was decimated by injuries. They took advantage of a USC team that, you know, started off slow, obviously, the 1-3 start that, you know, now looks like a million miles ago in the rearview mirror with their 8-game win streak, but they took advantage of those situations, and good for Colorado. That's half the battle of being a good college football team, is taking advantage of situations. But I just can't. I watched that Colorado-Utah game Saturday night, and for the life of me, Colorado had a million opportunities to kind of put that game away and just couldn't do it. And it was frustrating to watch that game against a Utah team that was trying to hand them the game, for crying out loud. So I think Washington wins, and I think Washington wins just simply because of Jake Browning and the weapons that he has at his disposal. Whether it's, you know, Dante Pettis, who caught three catches for 86 yards the other night against Washington State. I mean, you look at the receiving yards that they put up in that game against Washington State. They had five receivers with more than 20 yards, per catch in the game, for crying out loud. They can go a lot of different directions. Chico McClatcher, John Ross, Drew Samples, a pretty talented guy. They can bring him in off the bench. They've got so many different weapons. And then they've got this running game where it's kind of a running back by committee with LeVon Coleman. Miles Gaskett had a good game the other night. So I think they just do too many things too well, to put themselves over the top in the Pac-12 championship game. Is that enough then, you know, with all the other games going on, to vault them into the college football playoff? Obviously, that's going to be up to the committee. I hope it does, for other reasons we'll get into in a moment. But I just think Washington just has too many weapons on the table.
I want to stick with the Pac-12 here for just a moment. You mentioned the dreadful Utah-Colorado game, and I want to tell those who listened to it here on KOAL, it was much more entertaining to listen to it than it was to watch it, because it was a very poorly played game. I thought the Utes were terrible in this contest, specifically Troy Williams. But one thing that has plagued the Utes over the last couple of seasons, you know what, we can go back 5 years. Since the Utes have joined the Pac-12, one of the things that has plagued this team is their inability to score points. Defensively, I think they're very sound. They have somebody like Hunter Dimmick, who I think is going to be, he's going to get selected in the first two or three rounds in the NFL draft. They have talent defensively. But Steve, I want your assessment of head coach Kyle Whittingham, who I love, and Coach Whit takes out the time to join us here on the show regularly. So we love Coach Whittingham. But it seems like he's I don't know what word I'm trying to find here. He hasn't necessarily improved this team offensively over the past five seasons. And really, with Troy Williams coming back next year, I know they have Tyler Huntley, who I've seen a lot of great things out of as a freshman quarterback. But what is the problem with Utah's offense in your mind?
I think the fact that they don't know their identity. Like you mentioned Troy Williams in the game he had the other night against Colorado. What was he, 13 for 40?
Yes.
For 160 yards, which is an average of, what, like 4 yards per completion, which is terrible. The problem that I think you have with Utah as far as their offense is concerned is I don't think they nearly took advantage enough of Joe Williams. Whether it was this game here against Colorado, I think Joe Williams is a talented running back. I think he needed to be a more focal point in that offense. My problem with Utah has always been, since their introduction to the Pac-12, Pac-10 back in the day, is they haven't stepped up recruiting wise. And I don't know if it's because Kyle Whittingham isn't a great recruiter. I don't know if they can compete on the same scale as other schools in the Pac-12 conference right now, because it doesn't seem like they're getting those recruits. I get it. Utah's not a marquee name yet. They're not there yet. Maybe they will get there. But to me, you mentioned the motivation factor, you know, for Kyle Whittingham, and I just don't think that it's there yet. I think it's a tough sell, and it's that way with schools that are new to conferences. It's that way when and your name isn't affiliated automatically with that conference, whether it be the Pac-12, whether it be the Big Ten, what have you, it takes a while to get in there. Colorado did it. I mean, Colorado completely, you know, once they got into the Pac-12 conference, look at them now. They're playing for the championship. I think it does have a lot to do with motivating. I think it has a lot to do with recruiting. So that's my major issue with Utah going forward here, is that they've got to be able to take that next step forward, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do it.
Is Kyle Whittingham the guy moving forward in your mind?
No, he's not. And that's not a slight on him, but there are certain guys who are just not cut out for that level. And I hate to use the comparison, but it's a valid one now. Charlie Strong. I'm sorry, but that's who he is. Charlie Strong was handed a golden ticket, if you will, at Texas, but he's not Texas ready. We refer to it as Saturday Night Live. In the original years of Saturday Night Live, there are certain people that are just not ready for primetime players. And Kyle Whittingham, to me, is that guy. It's not a slight on him. He's a solid, smart, thinking head coach, but I just don't think he's got that ability. You know, Mike Leach was a great example of a guy who came into a new conference, but he knew how to recruit. He came from Texas Tech, so he knew how to recruit, so that works for him. These guys that come out of big conferences are successful programs. They can go into these big programs and these big conferences and not be intimidated. And I'm not saying that Kyle Whittingham's a bad coach. I want to make sure that that's very clear. He's not a bad coach. I just don't think he's the right guy. If you want this program to be in that elite area, I don't think he's the guy going forward.
Starting to see some sort of, I guess you could say, common ground between Kyle Whittingham and the, I know it was a negative phrase or a negative term used towards Steve Sarkisian, 8-win Sark. It's starting to become the same thing with Kyle Whittingham, right? 8-9 wins.
Yeah, and that's great if that's what Utah's content with. If Utah's content with being an 8-9 win team that's going to play in a minor bowl game every year, then great. Then Kyle Whittingham is your guy going forward. If you've got aspirations, though, of being Colorado, if you've got aspirations of being Washington, if you've got aspirations of being USC, because here's the newsflash. For all the stuff that happened to USC at the beginning of this season, they went out, if they win the Rose Bowl or whatever game they wind up in, they're a top-5 team next year. The first rankings. They're going to be a top-5 team along with the national champion and the runner-up. So if you have those aspirations, then you have to be able to step up in these situations. The fact that Utah, in their last couple of games, you know, they just didn't step up here. They didn't step up against Oregon, and they didn't step up against Colorado. You can argue the game, they lost 3 of their last 4. That's not, if you want to be that elite team, you can't lose 3 of your last 4 games.
Again, our guest right now with Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports on 1340 AM in Farmington, New Mexico, Fox Sports. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Hey, you mentioned the Rose Bowl, Steve, and we'll get to that in just a second. Obviously, there's a direct correlation between the Big Ten and the Pac-12. In your mind, who deserves more credit, and who would you give your nod to for Coach of the Year? James Franklin and the mess that he turned around in Penn State for a team that's now 10-2. They beat Ohio State, and they'll be playing for the Big Ten Championship. Or Mike McIntyre at Colorado, because, again, there's another program that was in shambles, and they're also 10-2, and they're ranked 8th and 9th in the rankings. And there's a realistic chance that we could get Colorado and Penn State in the Rose Bowl. Nobody in their wildest dreams could have predicted that at the beginning of the season.
No, you're absolutely right. And as far as the Coach of the Year is concerned, boy, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me, you know, a couple of years ago, here's where Penn State's going to be after all the mess that program and that university went through. So I would give the nod, and it's no disrespect again to Mike McIntyre, but I would give the nod to James Franklin because let's be honest here, who, you know, the guy who looks bad in all of this is Bill O'Brien, because he couldn't wait to get out of there after he was hired, after the Paterno scandal and everything went bad there. When they brought in Bill O'Brien, it was seen like a mercy hire almost. Okay, I'll come in, I'll take care of this for a couple of years. He couldn't wait to get out of there. Imagine where they'd be if Bill O'Brien had stuck around. So you bring in James Franklin. I'm not saying that Bill O'Brien didn't get a great opportunity, you know, to run an offense in the NFL. Good for him, and he's done a good job. But it's And James Franklin came into a situation where at that time the sanctions had not yet been lifted, and suddenly all of a sudden the doors open up here, and now he's got the sanctions have been lifted, all is forgiven, and here comes Penn State playing out of their minds right now. And Colorado, again, Colorado's done very, very well. But I think if you're looking at Coach of the Year, I think the situation at Penn State, given the timing, given where they were, where you see them now, that's an incredible turnaround.
It really is. This was a program that was nearly faced with the death penalty. I mean, we haven't seen sanctions like that since SMU.
Right, and the fact that the fact that James Franklin took that job, not knowing that that was going to happen, not knowing that the Red Sea was going to part, essentially, you know, as far as the sanctions were concerned, they were going to be lifted, and suddenly James Franklin didn't have to deal with all the recruiting sanctions. He didn't have to deal with the postseason sanctions. Suddenly, he could recruit like a regular coach. He could recruit like a Division I Power 5 conference dominant team head coach, which Penn State hadn't been in almost a decade. So the fact that he was able to do that and get that kind of turnaround there is pretty impressive.
So we get Penn State and Wisconsin. The winner of that game will go to the Rose Bowl unless something happens and they get catapulted into the top four. I think if Wisconsin wins, it's pretty clear cut and dry. They're going to go to the Rose Bowl and Ohio State will end up top four. If Penn State gets a win, does Franklin's squad have a legitimate gripe knowing that they beat Ohio State, they won the Big Ten championship, they are ranked in the top 10? Do they have a legitimate case to be made to get into the Final Four?
Into the Final Four? No. I don't think Penn State has a gripe if they go out and win this weekend. Do they have a gripe to be in the Final Four? No, I don't think so. I still think that, you know, going to the Rose Bowl is a great thing for them. But and you and I talked about this a little bit on my show this morning, and I understand the sentiment. How can you reward a team that didn't win its conference championship? I get all that. I don't think they can make a gripe though. It's still a two-loss team in Penn State, and I think as long as we're going to be penalizing two-loss teams here, then Penn State unfortunately can't argue that they should be in the Final Four now.
So let me toss another scenario out there for you. Say Washington loses to Colorado, and I think you and I agree that's a long shot. I don't think it's going to happen. That means that a two-loss team would get into the Final Four. In some capacity, it would have to happen because you only would have Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama with one or less losses, because Washington would have two, Michigan would have two, Wisconsin would have two, Oklahoma would have two. If Washington loses and Penn State wins the Big Ten championship, then would you put two Big Ten squads in, and would you give Penn State the nod over Michigan?
I would argue yes, only if, and this goes again against the logic of the Power Five conferences. How big does Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State by?
Okay,
because again, two loss team. There's your other two loss team there. I would argue then the case of it's Oklahoma and Penn State. Then you have that argument to throw in there. I think Michigan has invalidated themselves. I think Michigan's out of the equation entirely. Michigan losing to Ohio State, I get it was a close game, I get it was a classic. They've taken themselves out of that equation right now. So I think it comes down to, you know, the Wisconsin, Penn State, or Oklahoma argument as far as who gets that fourth spot. I'd have no issue if that were to be the case. I'd have no issue with that if it was Oklahoma, Wisconsin, or Penn State, if Washington loses to Colorado. Colorado can't be in the Final Four. I mean, I'm sorry, but that would eliminate the Pac-12 conference from being in the Final Four. That's too bad. But Colorado can't get there when they lost earlier in the season to a USC team that honestly I think is better than them.
Well, I got to point this out. If Washington does lose and two Big Ten teams get in, we're leaving out two conference champions from a Power Five, and that is a huge problem with the playoff committee. Huge problem based on what they have said in the past fits the criteria to get into the Final Four.
And it does open up. It'll open up the floodgates for all the arguments about it needs to be an 18 playoff. And I am so resistant to that. I understand that it's a popular sentiment and everyone wants to see the 8 teams. But then here's the next problem: is that it's going to be 8 teams isn't enough. Well, the team number 9, they got screwed out of this. But you know what? No one's ever going to be happy with this.
Right.
And the people who are happy about it are people like you and I, because we get to stir up that controversy. We get to stir up the pot a little bit. I like the idea that there are teams that are going to get left out. Teams get left out every year. Teams get left out of the March Madness. Teams get left out of this. Teams get left out of that. You know what? It makes for great story time. It makes for great fodder. And it makes you have to play harder next year. It makes you have to recruit harder next year. Not everyone should be able to compete for a championship.
No, I agree with you. And the old saying that people, this is why people wanted a playoff. Let's let the teams decide it on the field. And this is what I tried to say at that particular time. Guess what? It's not being decided on the field, because when Clemson and Louisville had the same record, there were people actually saying that Louisville deserved to be there over Clemson, despite the fact that Clemson beat them and they had the same record. If Penn State does not get in and Ohio State does, guess what? It wasn't decided on the field because Penn State won the conference championship. You're always going to have these loopholes, Steve, always.
Yeah, there's always going to be that argument. And I always, and let's face it, we do that for a living. We talk about these things so we can get the fans fired up. We can get, you know, the boosters fired up a little bit. And that's great. That's what's great about what we do. That's what's great about Tuesday when the rankings come out and everything, and everyone gets all the flutter, and then they during the basketball season, it's the RPIs and all that nonsense, and everyone gets all fired up for it. And I love that stuff. But at some point in time, and to your point about things are decided on the field, things are decided long before the College Football Playoff Committee gets around. Things are decided when the schedules are drawn up. Things get decided when schools decide who they want to play 3 years, 4 years in advance. Those things are decided long before these things ever get on the field.
Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, let the listeners know how they can listen to the show.
You can find it online through your iHeartRadio app. Just download the app. You can go to our website to do that at foxsports1340.com. I host First Sports Monday through Fridays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. That's 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch it online through our website at foxsports1340.com. On Saturdays and Sundays, I host a horse racing show called The Fast Track. That's on from 8 to 9 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also catch that online through our website at foxsports1340.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at fox1340am. Again, we're on there every day on the radio station, just like you, 7 days a week. It's a lot of fun. We do a great great little show out here with a lot of national and regional guests, and we'll be talking a lot about these college football playoff matchups over these next several days. Definitely looking forward to it. We're a Denver Broncos affiliate, so we get a lot of Broncos fans to chime in and call in. They're not very happy this afternoon, obviously, but it's a fun show. We enjoy doing it.
Steve, if you're Gary Kubiak, do you kick a 62-yarder to win the game last night?
Nope. I don't know if it was more of an indictment of his defense or if it was just more a case of we don't want to. I don't know what was his thought process at that moment. Just punt the ball, take the tie. I mean, take the tie, because you pin them back to the 20-yard line. They're not going to go 50 yards in a minute. Instead, you had them go 20 yards. To me, it was an absolutely atrocious call. But they lost that game in the fourth quarter when they couldn't stop committing stupid defensive penalties,
right,
which elongated that drive in the fourth quarter that allowed them to score the game-tying touchdown, which sent it in overtime. I have no idea how that defense just suddenly became idiotic in the last part of that fourth quarter last night.
Steve, it's always great to get you on the show. I appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
Steve Bordstein, again, of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We are out of time of the show today. It was a fun, packed show. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place, beginning at 4 p.m. Have a very safe Monday. We will catch you tomorrow. Until then, I am out.